Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and you may have heard about the Summer Lake Wind Project that's happening over in Berrigan County or being proposed in Berrigan County, but perhaps you had some questions and wanted to know more about it. Well, to help you do that, I've brought in a couple of guests here from the Friends of the Huron Mountains. Bert Mason and Linda Kinnanen have joined me. Thank you so much. Hello. So this is a topic that has been in the forefront here the last few months especially, and I know even in the business that I'm in, which is to be able to gather information and pass it on, there's a lot about this project that I think that just kind of gets left out there that doesn't get explained very well. And I know that, you know, even though it's proposed as something that everybody in the area should be happy about, not everybody feels that way. I'll just kind of put it mildly like that. So this is our opportunity to talk about the Summit Lake Wind Project. And let's start with that. What is that project?
The project involves 49 wind turbines that they would be placing up into the Huron Mountains in Berrigan County. It's a very remote area of the Huron Mountains. It's used by people today for snowmobiling, ATVing, hunting. Okay, a lot of activity goes on up there. And what they're talking about doing is basically industrializing that area with a number of wind turbines. Right now they're talking about 49. Those numbers have varied, but we also have, our research shows that usually they don't stop with just 49. Companies put in a phase one, a phase two, a phase three. It grows and grows and grows. That's our concern. Our concern is that we've got a vibrant ecosystem that is about to be destroyed. So we're looking at this kind of as a green against green, if you will. There is green energy that is produced by wind turbines. Nobody in our group that I'm aware of is really against that. There might be one or two, but usually speaking, most people are not against that type of energy. On the other hand, they don't want to see a wilderness area totally devastated, and that becomes the issue that we're looking at.
All right, well, let's look at who the players are in this discussion. Let's start. You mentioned how they want to put in these wind turbines. Mm-hmm. Who is they?
They are actually two very large companies. Weyerhaeuser being the largest. Weyerhaeuser owns the land or the property. And then there's a company called RES. That's an acronym, Renewable Energy Resources. They're out of London or out of the UK. They will be the construction company that would put in these turbines.
So it's private land in the Huron Mountains area.
Private land in the Huron Mountain area owned primarily by Weyerhaeuser. There's other GMO, I think. Some of them are on GMO land, but the primary alliance has been Weyerhaeuser and RES.
Okay. And who makes up the Friends of the Huron Mountains?
Friends of the Huron Mountains? Well, we're a grassroots organization, okay? Basically, we're composed of local citizens, business owners, visitors to the area. There's a lot of people that live outside of the area that have decided to join us. They own property up here. Just a grassroots organization.
Okay.
We're very happy, though, to see that the organization or the group has grown. We're now a registered Michigan corporation, a nonprofit corporation. We began in April of this year, and we had a handful of people at that time that took up the cause. We've organized, and now I'm glad to say we're 118 people strong. So it's been a big increase in support and effort by a lot of people. We've also been working with the KBIC and other ecology groups. So when we say Green energy is good. When green is good, we are attracting people that are groups that are worried about the ecology and specifically the ecology of the area. So that's kind of our mission.
Okay.
I'd like to add one other thing. We are more than a group that is just looking to stop this wind turbine project. We are now exploring, for example, working with the Fish and Wildlife for the Huron Island restoration of the lighthouse out there. So it's a group that is concerned about the area, bringing in tourists, making it a destination stop. So.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to ask you a series of questions that probably if you were stopped on the street and were talking to somebody about this and they didn't know much about it, they would ask. And so, you know, these are things you might get asked when you're, you know, at one of the public informational meetings that you've had. So first of all, the question would be, well, isn't having another energy source good for the area because it would mean lower electricity bills, like what they're trying to do with lawns, you know, with different solar energy efforts and things like that?
Linda, you want to take that?
Sure. The interesting thing is that, you know, people think, as I did when I first learned about this, that first, you know, it's green energy, it must be good, and we'll get cheaper electricity rates. Well, kind of the joke is we don't even get to use the electricity, and it's not going to affect our rates, at least in the negative direction. You know, there's a possibility they could go up. Other communities and areas that have wind projects have had that experience due to the maintenance and so on.
Now, these, I know what you're kind of getting at, these, because wind turbines don't necessarily run by themselves. They have generators, and you have to, if you're going to run in generators, you need to draw on local power to be able to run them.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And so if the energy is not going to be used by the residents of Berga County, where is it going? Do you know?
It's just going out on the grid. Could be going to Wisconsin, could be going to Detroit.
Okay. Tough, seems like a tough sell right off the bat, right there. But well, good. The next question that somebody may ask, okay, well, this is, you know, at least maybe for our local economy. And if you have, you know, 49 wind turbines to start, well, then somebody's got to build it. Somebody's got to maintain it. So it could be jobs for a much needed area like Berga County that has low employment.
Well, it could be. But as we understand it, RES brings in their own crews. There are very few local jobs that are hired. And once the project is up and running, they predict possibly 7 to 8 jobs to maintain the wind turbines. However, those jobs require 2 years, at least 2 years of training.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
So the chance of there being a lot of local jobs are low, in your opinion?
Yes, and they're not going to be long-lasting.
There's a couple other aspects to that. If you look at what's been reported by the companies themselves, what they're saying is up to eight full-time jobs. They aren't necessarily all going to be local jobs. Some of those jobs actually are most likely reside even out of state because what they have are centers where they're monitoring the wind turbine itself, okay? In addition to that, the supposed eight jobs that they're talking about do require some specialized training. Generally, that takes six months to 2 years. There's not many people in Berga County that have that training today, so it requires some training. It may require that some of those people come from out of state or out of the area, but and to repeat it again, some of those jobs, full-time jobs, probably reside in centers that are actually set up to monitor the wind turbines themselves.
Well, since this is a private industry and on private land, well, then you would expect that they would be paying taxes. So at least would that increase, you know, that availability for taxes in Berga County? That would have to be a good thing then.
nobody is, Berrien County is financially strapped. There's no question about that, okay? Only 17% of the people in the area pay taxes because there's so much CFA land, tribal land, you name it, okay? So there's not a very large tax base. So you would think that that would be the case. What's reported is $37 million in tax revenue over 25 years. When you break that apart, what you discover is that that $37 million quickly gets reduced down because they're including school taxes, which gets sent up to Lansing, but Lansing doesn't send additional money back. They send back what they're currently providing to the schools. So that all goes away. The other thing is that, and school, I mean, let's be honest, we all support our schools, okay? We've got in Lance, we've got what's called a sinking fund. We've also got a bond. Those cannot be paid off early. So while they will be paying those taxes, they won't increase the school's revenue with those taxes. What will happen is that the property owners that do pay taxes will not have to foot that bill. That sounds like a good thing, and probably is, but it really doesn't amount to much money when you're figuring it's 4.25 mils, which on a $100,000 property comes out to about $212 per year. So there is one benefit that I would like to point out to the schools, and that school benefit would be to the CCISD program, which is the trade school and that type of thing. So there is additional money for that. It's not that much money annually. If you look at it, it's $100,000 or $200,000 annually for the CCID program if you average it over the 25 years. So it's not that big a benefit to the school. My biggest concern here is the effect on tourism. When you subtract off the impact to the school, because we're not getting additional money for the schools, if you subtract that off, we're really talking about a tax increase to the county of about $25 million. But our research is showing that that's being offset or being negated, if you will, by the loss of tourism. We have gone back to the state. We found how many people visit our area, how much money they spend, how much taxes they spend, how many employees are supported by that. And what's interesting is if you run the numbers and figure that we may lose, depending upon who you talk to, where you go, we could lose somewhere between 2 and 6% of our tourism. It's not hard to imagine that when you consider hunters that won't want to sit underneath a wind turbine. So if you just take 4%, divide it in half as to what is anticipated, 4 out of 100 people may stop coming to our county or to our area. If you use that number of 4%, that equates to a loss of $52 million over the lifespan of the project. So $25 million in tax revenue, but a loss of $52 million is not sounding very promising to us. So that's one of our main concerns, is that loss of tourism.
Okay. So I have some questions to follow up with that. When I cross the Mackinac Bridge, and I'm in the Mackinac City area, which is a major tourism draw for the state of Michigan, one of the first things you see is a wind farm off to your right. So there are wind turbines within view of the Mackinac Bridge and the Mackinac Island, all of that. Just using that as a reference, did you look at the effects of other tourist areas with a wind farm nearby, and did it have an effect on their tourism?
Yes, we have. Maine, for example, they were slated to have 3,000 wind turbines put in. It was approved by the legislature. The governor came in after 900 wind turbines went in, and the governor said, oh my gosh, this is affecting our tourism industry. He has put a moratorium on it. Other areas have done the same thing. We've got studies from all over. One thing to consider in all this is that most of the wind farms aren't in areas like ours. Okay, they truly aren't in forested areas. They're already in areas that are farmland or things of that nature, which is a totally different scenario than what we have. I mean, we don't have infrastructure up there. We don't have real roads. We've got trails, logging trails, but we don't have that infrastructure, which is the thing that attracts a lot of people here. So, yes, it does appear very strongly when we've researched it that this does affect tourism.
You mentioned earlier that the area that these wind turbines would go in is a very, very remote part of the Huron Mountains. So is it possible that they could be put in and nobody would really know that they're there?
Ah, that's a good question. So the typical complaint about wind turbines is that they're noisy and they have flicker and they're an eyesore. And quite honestly, a lot of people will not see them because of where they're being located. But when I say a lot of people won't see them, the people that go into the area will in fact see them. Okay, if you go up onto the top of Mount Arvon, you will see them, especially after the leaves fall. You're going to see them because they're well within half a mile or a mile of the site. So it will have an impact there. People that use ATVs or snowmobiling, they're not going to want to go through a wind farm on their travels. It also affects dramatically wildlife. So it's fragmenting of the forest. So it has major impact, not so much on the visitors. There are areas where you're going to be able to see them. If you drive up Roland Lake Road, if you're in Berriga, you're going to be able to see them. But it's not the typical complaint that you get on the farmlands.
Okay. The land that is being proposed to use right now, the private land, is that open right now? Because you've mentioned about people with ATVs and hunters and stuff. Are they able to use that land right now as it is, or yep. Is it already closed off?
Nope, they're able to use it right now. And the report is that they will still allow people to use the land. So, yeah, it is open to the public. And CFA requires that at least you must be able to allow foot traffic through the area. Right now they're allowing ATVs and snowmobiles and those types of vehicles to come through.
Okay. What are any obstacles for them? Because if they own the land, what's stopping them from just going ahead with the project? Do they need anybody else's approval?
Yeah.
Yes, they would need a special use permit or a zoning change in the Lawns Township area.
So is it Lawns Township, that board, that would be making this decision?
Yes, it is.
Okay, where does that stand right now?
Well, interestingly enough, our attorney advised the Lawns Township board that in order to deal with this project, all they would have to do is do nothing. Because if they just left everything the way it is right now, they would not be able to come in. They could apply for a special use permit, but they wouldn't necessarily be granted it. And the board has been pressured to change a couple of typos that were noticed, I believe, by the RES attorney. So they've been feeling pressured to do that. But in actuality, they really don't have to do that. And they wouldn't be able to come
right
in.
Right now, the current zoning prohibits wind turbines on CFA land. It does not prohibit it on conservation land, nor does it prohibit it on recreational land. But CFA forested land, it does prohibit it. RES and Weyerhaeuser have been pushing to get that changed, and the Lawns Township Board has submitted down to the Planning Commission a request to make that change, okay, to allow it on CFA land. Interesting thing to note is that at the last Lance Township board meeting, they essentially retired some of the members on the board and have inserted appointed, thank you very much, appointed the a new planning commission. So we're waiting to see how the Planning Commission deals with the zoning ordinance that's in place now, if they'll make the changes to allow this turbine project to go forward. We don't know the answer to that. We have suspicions, though. So, okay.
Additionally, at that meeting, the board was handed a revised resolution or a revised zoning ordinance that the attorney for RES had written. And the township board members voted on it, even though at least two of them hadn't even read it.
Well, I'd like to make a small correction there.
Okay.
RES had written a proposal for a new zoning ordinance or a change to the zoning ordinance. The board actually did not accept that, but they went back to their attorney and had the attorney write a new zoning ordinance that would allow the wind turbines on. We have not seen the RES one, nor have we yet seen the new proposed one written by the township lawyer. But the effects would be the same.
How fun when we get attorneys involved in this.
Yes, yes.
Corporate America running our township.
That's another show. That's another show. But for people that do want to know more about this, Bert, I want to give you an opportunity. So if somebody, you know, this is something that's important to them, they want to know more, where can they find that information?
Okay. We have a website. I encourage people to go to Save the Huron Mountains. And if anybody would go there, they'll see lots of information on the research that we've done. Okay, again, it's Save the Huron Mountains. Additionally, if anyone in the audience would like to donate, we do have a GoFundMe page for Save the Huron Mountains. And as Linda just said, we've got an attorney. We are working on strategies and ways to combat this. We're actually doing an injunction against the township for them installing MET towers, which are towers that monitor the wind and collect other data. We can use help from the public, and we encourage people to investigate this and come to our webpage and look at what we're doing. So thank you.
What has been the response so far on the public? Do you have a lot of support in opposition to this?
Tremendous. I have been talking with people at a variety of events for the last several months. And initially, I would say that, and their first reaction is just like mine, green energy must be good. We'll save money on our electric bills. Once we explain the concerns, the very dangers of fire, especially out in timberland and so on, and that we don't get cheaper electricity, and they're like, why ruin our mountains for that? And so easily, when I began talking to people, it was 90% were on our side, so to speak. Now, as we've just had the powwow and the Berga County Fair, it's jumped to 98%. People can't believe we'd even be considering this.
It's hard to imagine getting over 90% of the public agreeing upon anything. And the fact of the matter is, that's what we're seeing. There is a number of people, a small group of people at this point, that are still in favor of them. And I'll say it this way, there are radicals on both sides, some that you're never going to change their mind no matter what you present to them. But overall, the support from the community has been overwhelming.
And in the desire for fairness. If, you know, if there was an organization or even the company itself wanted to come on the program and tell us about all the wonders of this wind farm, I'd be happy to hear from them as well. Again, you know, I encourage people to learn as much as they can for themselves so that they can make their own personal informed decision on this. There's a lot more than what we could be able to cover in 25 minutes, but I think we did a pretty good overview. So Bert and Linda, I appreciate you coming on the program to help me do that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for allowing us to do the show.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.